Leave me to myself. Have you ever been caught cheating? Really? Now, after you get over the confronting nature of the question, reflect on it for a moment. Have you ever been caught cheating? Now, give yourself a moment to get past all the disingenuous stuff and the reactions of something like, "Well, I would never." The truth is, yeah, you would. We have all been caught cheating. Now, that could be cheating in a board game or running a red light. We have all been caught doing something we were not supposed to be doing. There are a number of reactions we go through upon being caught. The reaction could be denial. "I didn't know that was cheating." The reaction could be feigned shock. "Oh, it doesn't work like that?" The reactions generally mean that we are now heaping on lies on top of the cheating. And in some rare cases, the reaction could actually be the admission of guilt. Yeah, guilty. When you look at what's going on in our brains, we might go through several different exercises. We may be embarrassed that we were caught, and we feel other reactions because of the person who discovered us. Depending on who the person is that makes the discovery, that drives to a very large extent how we react. It's one thing being caught running a red light by a police officer, but it's another matter altogether when we're caught by a loving parent doing something we're not supposed to do. It does make a difference as to who discovers our misstep. We're very sensitive to who does the catching. It sets off a whole line of thinking and reactions. When we're caught, we tend to want to be left alone. We tend to want isolation. In those times of exposure, we want to crawl under a rock, so to speak. We want to be somewhere else in that moment so that we don't have to face the embarrassment, the guilt, the intensity of that moment. We don't like being exposed. In very much the same way, this was probably the experience of Simon Peter when he met Jesus and determined that he was not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus. Simon Peter saw himself as a sinner and out of his guilt thought it better that he not sully or diminish the presence of Jesus by being associated with him. He wanted to separate himself. The way the story is recounted, these fishermen were cleaning up after a long day of fishing. This was their livelihood. They didn't have a fruitful day. When they returned, their nets were empty, which meant that they didn't make any money that day. Jesus ordered them to put their boats back in the water and recast their nets. When they did, their nets were filled to bursting, and it required two boats to haul in all that they had caught. Of course, they must have been embarrassed, because here they were at the end of the day packing it in, and in a matter of minutes, upon listening to the orders of Jesus, their boats were filled to overflowing. You and I, we have our boats on shore, tied up, and we're cleaning up and putting away the tools of our calling. We're in the process of shutting down the operations of what we have been called to do. There's a universal call for us to put our boats back into the water. The universe is calling for us to recast our nets. This calls for us to leave our self-imposed isolation behind. It calls upon us to no longer be left alone, but to actually step back into the flow of things. This is a time to get over the embarrassment or whatever it is that has us constrained from expressing our calling. We have our boats in what boaters call dry dock. Our tools are dusty. It's time that we recast our nets. This year, this day, is the time and the opportunity to re-engage like we've never done before. This is not a time for one to be left alone, not at all. This is a time for engagement, collaboration, recasting of nets, because a bounty is just waiting to be discovered and expressed through the expression of your calling. Recast your net. God bless.